grammaire fantôme. Grammaire fantôme. Grammaire fantôme. Grammaire fantôme. Une émission par Nadia Lichtig.
So I'm starting recording now.
Awesome.
Yeah,
sounds great.
First of all, hello, Amanda.
Yes.
Could you try to help me, how do you pronounce your last name?
Yeah, it's my maiden name is Kachadorian, and my married name is Jordi. Jordi,
huh?
Yeah. my husband's Swiss, so we got different pronunciations and stuff like that.
Okay. Amanda, we meet today at the Odeon here at UBC.
Mm-hmm.
You're an MFA student?
Yes. You? Second year MFA.
Which means that you're soon leaving this place?
Exactly. One more year to go.
Yeah. So we're here today in the gallery of the Odeon, the art gallery, and you have, you're part of a group exhibition.
Yes, with five other of my cohorts. So a total of six people in my cohort that we have created these different works of art that was been developed for 1 year while in the MFA program. And a lot of us came from different mediums and maybe pivoted a little bit, but then some of us kind of just expanded on what we were already doing as well. So there's a lot of experimentation and exploration in this program.
I'd love to follow you to your work.
Yeah, so well, here's one that's a bit hidden in the corner. This work is titled Can't Exceed a 50 pounds/23 kilos per bag. So it's just kind of like a little of a satire because, as you can tell, it's a suitcase, but it's filled with concrete. And then placed, embedded into the concrete is this 3D printed document that's redacted from words and any legible writing, but it's just left with this ambiguous line work of abstraction.
I'm getting a bit closer.
Yes.
So we have this 3D print, mm-hmm. which is really mysterious.
Yes, very mysterious. So this is kind of inspired by personal documents from my own archives of when me and my then boyfriend, which now husband, we were deciding between at the time, we were living in San Diego, and he was getting his master's in business at San Diego State University, or no, UCSD, University of California, San Diego, and deciding to go back to Switzerland and navigating that, especially during COVID. It would have been extremely difficult for him to get a job after his degree because nobody was hiring. And the state's rules and regulations around work permits is really strict. You have to get a job within your field, you have to make sure the company will sponsor that work permit. So that would have been he probably would have been still able to, but it was right after COVID 2020. He graduated that summer. So in between him going to Switzerland, I decided to stay back because also I had to wait for my visa to go to Switzerland, which they said, oh, it'll take 3 months. Took a year and a half.
Wow.
So we were apart for that long. This was one of the first documents I had to fill out to immigrate over there.
So this is a document for the Swiss government?
Yes.
So that you can immigrate to Switzerland and to marry there?
Yes, to marry, yes. Of course, the headaches of bureaucracy and paperwork didn't end there and still doesn't end. But that was just kind of like the beginning. This is also his suitcase.
But
he's in Switzerland right now, too. So it's our third time being long distance, which is...
Yeah, so the book is about how to get together in these times where we can't really decide where we want to be.
Where we want to be, or just being restricted, mm-hmm. like politically, geographically, bureaucratically. This work is ambiguous in the sense that, yes, it has a poetic personal nature, but it also lends itself to other political and social conversations. Mm-hmm. Of course, currently everything happening in the States, of course, You can say also in Canada, you can say every, like, anywhere that you've, your own positionality, you can infer yourself into this work. So that's kind of like my decision in making this not as accessible or as legible as people might be able to infer them all, their own personal narrative, their own personal experience within this piece, as well as the work we're going to see in a little bit. But yeah, it's a bit of the personal and the global, as you could say. I'm definitely looking to utilize that a little bit in the future with some performance piece. But
you know that there's this African artist, Bartolomé Togo, who had this piece in the 90s where he tried to, he made the suitcase out of concrete.
Oh,
not out of wood, sorry. He carved it. And this gave the policeman on the border big headaches.
Wow.
Because it was like a carved suitcase. But there's only, it was out of wood, you know?
Yeah.
He was carrying around, or he was traveling with that.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting hearing about how people have to navigate like different borders, different landscape, different social rules and regulations. Of course, like everyone's experience with that varies. Like, I'm a mixed brown woman from Southern California. Of course, that lends itself to privilege of being an American, but also the struggles of being a brown woman and kind of this ambiguous like identity. But also in Europe, there's another narrative too that maybe I experienced in Europe a little differently than I would in the States or in Canada. So everyone's experience can vary. Yeah, so we're currently in the main space of the Ava Gallery. We are very sculpturally heavy cohort, as you can tell, very installation-based. Few of the works are also about either indigenous communities or about patriarchy, as well as identity through portraiture, memory, if we go around the corners, memory through photography and abstraction. So there's definitely a lot of work that's being talked about through our program through different lenses. So my work that we kind of see that captures, I would imagine, a lot of people's attention, because it's one of the first things you kind of see when you come into the space, is called paperweight. These are about 28 concrete slabs, each measuring 18 by 24 inches, each weighing around 25 to 30 pounds, which would probably be around maybe 13 kilos each, roughly around there. So in the middle of the concrete, there's this indentation that's pressed within the slabs of either A4 paper or letter size paper documents. Originally inspired by my own archive of having a mix of letter size and A4 documents, as well as that a little centerpiece in the middle of a decal with a sky motif. And these are actually a passport and ID size.
Okay, so this one is like the exception.
It is a bit, yes.
Because otherwise we have only rectangles, which are, yeah, roughly the size of 27 to 29.7. That's A4, and then the letter size in American letter size is
11 by 8.5 inches. Okay. Yes,
in Canada as well.
In Canada as well, yes.
And you put up quite a lot of them.
I did. This project was developed over the summer, and it definitely manifested in a lot of different iterations, a lot of directions that I could take. I knew that the material had to be concrete, both for its material weight, but also in the conversation of bureaucracy and foundation. My husband is also an engineer. He did like concrete pours for these projects back in Los Angeles when he was working there. Also worked in Switzerland a little bit with other modular buildings. So he's always kind of talking my ear off about concrete and stuff like that, and thinking about how
brutalist architecture, especially with American embassies. Like, you can go to like a lot of these American embassies that have very concrete heavy brutalist architecture, but also just in general, every building that's created has a concrete or foundation pour of concrete for stability and stable infrastructure and things like that. So thinking of kind of playing on both ends, the architectural aspect, but mostly the metaphoric weight of what these bureaucratic documents have psychologically. Now, if we hold a piece of paper, traditionally it's very light, it's very thin, it's very soft. But from what the experience having to fill out these documents, uncertainty, the ambiguity, the frustration, it really has more of a weight than what it actually represents. So that was kind of the idea of the age of the slabs.
So you speak about the bureaucracy also closes doors.
Yes, well, it's a very kind of affirming, negating aspect where it does close doors and also opens them. But to what end, to what stage will that be altered? Will that be taken away? Will that be granted? Like, it's constantly changing and evolving, and you never know what's going to happen, unfortunately.
So these concrete plates, which are maybe 50 and 30 centimeters big, like 50 to 30 or something?
Yeah, I believe around there.
They have all very different textures, so they're very interesting to look at because they catch the light differently. So you have shadows coming in. So the paper is always a bit like squeezed down in the concrete, and then you have sometimes also the traces of hands. Sometimes of like a spatial, of, I don't know how you say that. So you see that there are different consistencies of the concrete. So how come? So it, do you do yourself these mixtures? And this depends on how much sand you put in there and some, how much water or
Yeah, about the process and everything else. So the first time I like did a concrete pour, well, it was with the with the suitcase first, but I logistically was only able to make two slabs a day, just based on like resources and things like that, and time and effort. So when first making the first few slabs, it was very smooth. It was like kind of the consistency that you see on the bottom, a little more water, a little more mixing of the sand to create that pour. So I poured it, and then it kind of just evolved from there to like, okay, the next step, what about we try it a little more textured? And then next step, why we try it a little more malleable to where it could like press and be very bodily in this sense. So why don't we try something a little more crunchy? And then each kind of evolved, and some of them cracked, some of them was you know, altered a bit with my hands, through the fingers, through the presence of the person making them, which was my hands, and the sense of the body being involved in it. I think of it as these different textures as tackling each type of paper in its own unique way. How you are given a form and you're having to fill it out and experience it. It has its own unique requirements or instructions, and then you do another form and it also has its own unique requirements, and that's kind of playing through that with texture, how each of them have its own identity, its own place, its own navigating through it.
And time as well.
No? Time as well.
How long do you wait for the concrete to be ready to get out of the
mold?
Yeah.
Usually it would take 24 hours, sometimes a little longer, depending on how wet they were. Generally, it was best to wait a little over 24 hours before I took them out. And I think it was definitely interesting to having to carry them, having to move them. There's times where I even stack them, like paper, stacking paper and playing with that as well as a motif. Other things I'm going to hopefully experiment a little bit moving forward with this work, especially thinking about how originally why I wanted a indentation, like a cubby type of effect, was that initially there was going to be paper within it. They were going to contain something. But within playing with that, it took away from the materiality of the work. But the work that I'm going to currently be exploring is similar to what the 3D printed document is. Now, using a 3D printer is not an easy task at all. It's very finicky and very particular, kind of similar to how you had to go through these paperworks. But something I still want to experiment more is with the redaction and the lines and the formal structural element of the paper and the borders and lines within the documents is kind of stuff I'm kind of moving towards a little bit. And ironically enough, this work, if you would see my previous pieces of paintings that I did, you would think this is not the same person. I don't know if you see my older paintings, but you would just be like, this isn't, who is this person, really? I can just quickly like show you.
You will put it then on the radio for archives. I would need the images, you know?
Yeah.
Because we speak about the images.
Yeah, of course. I'd be happy to show you. And I have also pictures of these. Mm-hmm. But these are my old paintings. Very surrealist, hybrid of botanicals, talking about migration, identity, and multiculturalism. Yeah, and I definitely was feeling the rut and the monotony and the lack of... Oh, I've changed a lot as a person. I've now been living in two countries. I've experienced a lot since having developed my painting series. And I think I knew I wanted to go back for my master's degree when I was ready for a change. And I think coming at this time and everything going on right now, and I'm ready to explore and experiment, this was really... conducive and productive for me, and express way more what I've been wanting to talk about and say emotionally, conceptually, psychologically. And granted, maybe one day I'll go back to painting, but I think I would like to expand on it and not keep to the same formula for sure.
How you decided how many boards or how many concrete slabs?
Originally, in terms of why did this many, the first initial solid concrete plan is I knew I wanted the height. That I for sure knew. Now, I don't know quite how tall these walls are, but I would say maybe 12 feet tall or more, something like that. And when working with scale, working with atmosphere, kind of trying to create that looming, stressful, anxiety-inducing space. Now, these things are concrete slabs or hung really heavy from other people's idea when they come to see the work and what they've told me, they feel really anxious. They're afraid they're going to fall down. That's what they think, which I assure you they're very secure. They're very secured on the wall. But that I knew I needed the height. I needed people to feel that sense of this could all be crashing down. So in terms of the amount, I kind of just kept making more and more of the slabs. And I wasn't sure when it would be enough or how much I wanted. But when I was bringing them to the gallery, I was just propping them against the wall. So I knew, well, that's going to be one row because that engulfs the whole wall. And I knew I wanted this tall. So in terms of the logistic spatiality, it had been four in one row. And ironically enough, I made... enough that would be seven, or no, that's columns. So four in one column and seven in one row. I could be mixing that up. But ironically, that ended up being a calendar.
Oh, a calendar.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Seven for each day for in a week. And that also allowed me to figure out how to organize the slabs. I wanted the more textured ones above because granted you can still see a lot of the texture really far away compared to if I had the smoother ones, it'd be really hard to get those details. But I organized it from the more textured to smooth, and it went back down to texture smooth, and it would went back down. So kind of how you read a calendar. So that was kind of like the logistical conceptual framework and how to place these properly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What's the title of the book?
Paperweight. So I don't know if you know, but like, if there's these things you can buy at the office supply store, it's like a sculptural piece, right? Mm-hmm. That it's just weighted to keep the paper from flying away. Mm-hmm. So it's also kind of like a pun, but also related to the materiality of the work.
You have like a whole month here of paper work,
yes.
Paperweight. And in the middle, you have this exception.
Yes.
So that's a passport.
The small one is just like an ID.
Ah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it's painted.
This is actually a decal. Yes. Mm. So, I mean, basically, it's just this new material I've been playing with where you can print an image onto this decal. You have to prep it and things like that. And then you put it through the water and it lifts up into this very thin image and you're able to place it onto different objects, which has been really exciting because I've been really loving getting into photography, but I've been more interested in finding ways to place images on materials instead of printing an image. Granted, I think I'll still play with it's a traditional way of framing photography, but I'm kind of more interested right now in finding ways to embed the image into the material. So there was kind of also another idea in placing a little more images and motifs within the slabs, but that also took away from the work. But I needed one. I just needed something. Coming from a painter, coming from a little more representation, I was like, I kind of just really need something. Yeah.
It's like a window to a new path, mm-hmm. maybe. I mean, one has the impression when one is closed, because now we're closed. I'm looking up because I'm actually also, I'm a bit anxious about the fact that one is getting hit by concrete. by one of your sculptures.
Yes.
But when you one is closed, and one it's a bit like a window in an airplane. So one sees the sky. And which gives maybe an horizon to something else?
Yes, a horizon to possibilities. I was thinking, I had taken a creative writing class over the summer, which really helped me develop this work with Sherita Warrens. And something that I kept thinking about, well, what is like this true essence of freedom? Because something with this material, it's really heavy, it's really psychologically tumultuous, like with the material and stuff like that, but I needed something to add some sense of hope and possibility. And ironically, my dad's a pilot, and thinking about flying and thinking about how clouds are this true essence of freedom and mobility, able to cross the tallest mountains, able to cross the longest oceans without any restrictions. As well as how clouds constantly transform and constantly change and evolve, and they're never stagnant. And that was just kind of the poetic nature and including that motif and something I'm hoping to explore a little more, expand a bit more into new work that I'm working on. But that's kind of like the hopeful side of embedded in the passport, beyond the passport, what life could truly be. Because I kind of think with passports, it's a really restrictive like process and ways in which we move about the world, and hope to like kind of expand on that a bit more with other means. But yes.
And what about your future plans? Canada might be a place where you as an artist would like to be established.
Ideally, but of course, you know, you can plan, and then mm-hmm. you never know with life yeah. and things like that. But I think that's the exciting part. That's the adventure. And mm-hmm. I'm just looking forward to just, you know, exhibiting, working. Mm-hmm. I really love Vancouver. I think it's a really great city. I think it's very international.
So I hope to, you know, navigate this new country and find my place in it. So I've exhibited a lot in California, exhibited a little bit in Switzerland while I was living there, and now I'm in Canada. So definitely hoping to expand my horizons a little more. I think in Zurich and Lucerne and Geneva especially also are extremely great, like in terms of the contemporary art and the market and things like that. I guess I hope that I'll be able to find ways to put my foot in the door in the European market. But of course, we'll have to kind of see what happens, see if anybody, you know, are interested and make connections and things like that.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you so much, Amanda.
Yeah, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Grammaire fantôme. Grammaire fantôme. Grammaire fantôme. Grammaire fantôme. Une émission par Nadia Lichtig.